Okay, so Psalm 23. Let's open to Psalm 23 again, and we're going to focus in on verses 2 and 3 this week. If the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to start at the beginning of the psalm and just read through verse 3, and then we'll focus in here. So a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness, or in right paths for his name's sake. Jesus, thank you. We know this psalm speaks of you, our good shepherd. And God, we just look to you this morning as our shepherd. And thank you that you are so committed to your people. And as we hear in these verses of the psalm of what you do in our lives, God, I pray it takes root and bears great fruit into our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. So as we dive into this, ask yourself this question. What will it take to satisfy my soul? What's it going to take? Is it just a little bit more money? Is it just a little more free time? Is it fill in the blank? A little more notoriety? A little more what? What will it take to satisfy my soul? And we'll ask you some more questions as we go through this. It's interesting here in Psalm 23:2, starts off by saying, our shepherd makes us lie down in green pastures. He causes us to lie down in green pastures. It's interesting, as a sheep, because that's what we are. We talked about that last week. We're sheep, not a complimentary thing, not a great thing. The mighty sheep of God. We're these sheep that need help. And sometimes sheep don't want to lie down. And there's four main reasons why they don't lie down, or why they don't want to lie down. And the four reasons are this. Kind of the four F's here. Fear, flies, friction, and famine. You have any of these things going on in your life, it's hard to lie down. It's hard to rest when you're afraid. Think of sheep. If there's wolves or predators around, they're antsy. They get antsy. But when the shepherd is around, a sheep can lie down even when there is trouble around. And I'm going to read you several quotes today from this is a guy named W. Philip Keller. He's a shepherd, and he wrote this book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And he says this, in a Christian's life, there's no substitute for the keen awareness that my shepherd is nearby. There's nothing like Christ's presence to dispel the fear, the panic, or the terror of the unknown. I think for me, that's probably the biggest one is if you put unknown in there, the fear of the unknown. Why do I feel like I need to have just a little more financial cushion? Fear of the unknown. You know, why do I feel like I need, I need this in place now so I'm secure? It's not that I know that there's some horrible thing coming. It's the fear of the unknown. That kind of hit me, actually, when you said unknown. Because I'm thinking wolves, predators. And it says unknown. That gets close to home for me. Secondly, the flies, and that's bigger than flies. Pests, parasites, irritants. When sheep have bugs and things buzzing them and biting at them and nipping at them, they don't like to lie down. They're trying to find, it's just like, when you've got stuff coming at you in life, it can be hard to lie down and rest. Like, I want to get all this stuff fixed. I want to get everything taken care of, and then I can stop and I can rest. Well, rest assured, every sheep feels like that. And your shepherd knows that. Your shepherd knows it's hard to lie down. And throughout Scripture, the Holy Spirit is referred to and likened to an oil that soothes you, that pours over you. And a good shepherd knows he needs to treat his sheep. And your good shepherd, your Heavenly Father, and Jesus know you need to be treated. And God's provided his Holy Spirit for you to make sure that you have what you need. There's still pests around. There's always going to be pests around. There's always going to be things to irritate you. I have all kinds of things coming to my mind right now that could irritate me. And guess what? They're going to be there. But God's given you his Spirit so that you can actually find rest in the middle of irritants. That's cool. The third thing, friction. And this, the idea here is the friction with other sheep. You got issues with people. We got issues with other Christians. We got issues with how imperfect all these other people can be. And I know it's never you. Never is. It's always someone else's imperfections, right? Right. It's always someone else. Get this quote. This is this Philip Keller again. He says, one point that always interested me very much was that whenever I came into view as a shepherd, whenever I came into view and my presence attracted their attention, the sheep quickly forgot their foolish rivalries and stopped their fighting. The shepherd's presence made all the difference. Isn't that cool? When the shepherd comes into view, when our focus shifts to this amazing shepherd, all of our pettiness, it's just like, it doesn't matter anymore. What are these other sheep doing? And the sheep is bothering me. Well, when you focus in on Jesus, that sheep might still be an idiot sheep. But it doesn't bother you as much because you're focused in on the shepherd. And you can lie down even though that other sheep has issues. If you can't lie down until all the other sheep are fixed, you're going to die. Sorry, that's how it is. You're going to die because there's always going to be sheep with issues. People are going to let you down. People are going to do stuff. People in the church, good godly people, are going to mess up. And what are you going to do? Is it going to throw you off? Well, if your attention is on them, yes. If your focus is on the shepherd, no. You can lie down, and in that place, you find strength to actually get back up and deal with issues. And the fourth thing, famine. A hungry, ill-fed sheep is always on its feet. It's on the move. It's always looking for even this scrawny little bite. Some little bush may not even be nourishing, but it's not fed well. And so anything looks satisfying. And it's after. It's always after another mouthful. And Philip Keller says this, such sheep are not contented. They do not thrive. They are of no use to themselves nor to their owners. They languish and lack vigor and vitality. Well, good news is Jesus actually says, hey, I'm life. I'm living water. You know, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And we sang it this morning, only you can satisfy. He really does. He can satisfy us. And then we can lay down. We can rest. Even this morning, as we're worshiping, I'm thinking, man, I could just kind of hang out here because I feel really at ease in God. So big question for you. What's keeping you from lying down? What's keeping you from lying down and resting? Think about it a minute. You don't have to answer me right now, but just think about it. What keeps me from lying down? Now, here's the good news. This verse says, he makes you lie down. This isn't like this big command to you. Hey, sheep, lay down. No, he actually causes you to lay down. He comes in and he deals with these areas in your life. And he'll cause you to lay down. He'll give you the peace you need to lay down. Or, at times, if you refuse to lay down, he will organize your circumstances to ensure that you lay down. Whack. Yeah. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Whack! I think we'll get into that one a little bit next week more, but that's actually true. He really will orchestrate things so that you have no choice but to lay down. It's good to just go ahead and say, okay, I'm going to cooperate. I'm going to cooperate with you and lay down. So moving on. So not only does God make us, God makes. This is cool. He causes. Secondly, he leads. He leads me beside still waters. This is what he does. I jotted down two verses here. One of them is Jeremiah 2:13. Speaks of us forsaking fountains of living water for broken cisterns. And a broken cistern, a big cistern, would be, it'd be dug, this big pit dug out and either walled up with stones or dug into the rock, and you would store the water there so that when you needed it, there was water. Well, a broken cistern has cracks, it has leaks, and you can put water in and put water in and put water in, but it leaks. And God says, you're forsaking living water and fountains of living waters, which is like a spring. You've got the springs just coming up, coming up, coming up, coming up. And he says, you forsake these fountains of fresh flowing water for broken cisterns that they're empty. John 4:14 says this, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. You thirst for nothing else. He leads us beside these still waters. He leads you to fresh water. Still water doesn't mean here that it's completely stagnant water. It's not like a dead marsh water. It's this, these still waters are, it's quiet, drinkable water. Think coming to a stream that's flowing nicely. It's not at flood stage. You don't have loads of silt and, you know, it's not muddy because it's so loaded with stuff. It's clear. It's drinkable water. And God says, I'm leading you beside drinkable water. And in fact, I am actually that water. This is where I'm bringing you. Last week we talked a little bit. We just mentioned these parasite puddles that sheep actually tend to do this, where the shepherd is leading them to fresh, flowing, good, drinkable, healthy water, and the sheep will tend to stop and drink in the mud puddles. And mud puddles are not known for their, they can be known for their living nature. It's just not the living we want. Bugs, and I mean, that's where mosquitoes breed. It's where all sorts of stuff just kind of grows. And the effects of drinking this water are not good on the sheep. But they don't always show up right away. They show up as that nasty puddle they're drinking from begins to germinate. And it begins to breed and grow in their systems. And then the sheep get sick. The effect of drinking from broken cisterns, the effect of drinking from bad water, is you get sick. So think about this. What puddles in life would you tend to drink from? What do you tend to drink from? Where do you tend to run to drink that's leaving you sick? Leaving you as an unhealthy sheep? Where do you tend to go? Now, good news. You've got your tendencies. You've got your sinful behaviors that you might like to return to, your puddle that you want to run back to. It's referred to in scripture as a dog returning to its vomit, which is really nice. Yeah, one of those you don't see written on too many church walls or living room walls for that matter. Like, oh yeah, I'd love to quote that verse. It's like a dog returning to its vomit. The good news is God is the one who leads us. You might have your tendencies, You might have the sinful patterns that you tend to go back to, and places that are just lesser. They may not even be like gross sins. You're like, oh yeah, I just keep falling back into adultery. Maybe that's not your deal. It might be a lot smaller than that. You know, I hope it's not your deal. If it is your deal, we'll pray with you. But you know, it can be, I tend to run to the internet. I tend to run to Facebook. And I'm not saying those things are bad. I actually do use the internet and I do use Facebook. But it can become a puddle that you constantly go to fill the void when Jesus is actually trying to draw you to him. He wants you to drink good water. And yet you're stuck in the Facebook puddle. But God leads us. Christ alone knows where the still, quiet, deep, clean, pure water is. He knows. He knows where we need to go. He knows what's going to satisfy you and keep you satisfied, which is why he keeps saying, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. And then he leads you to him. And I love that the psalm says this. You know, he leads me. He's the shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. He's going to do it. He's committed to it. So this isn't, again, this isn't a big command to you to say, hey, stop it and get to the quiet water. Jesus has promised, I'm going to lead you to the quiet water. You just look to him and let him lead you. So thirdly, it says here, he restores. He restores my soul. I love this one. He restores my soul. Okay, so you've been drinking from puddles. You've been drinking from just bad water, and you've got issues. God is the one who comes in to restore you on the inside. And we've done a ministry for over 10 years we've been a part of called Encounter Weekends. That the whole point is to just get away and invest like a Friday night through a Sunday early afternoon and just get away and go be with God. Encounter God. It's like encounters of the best kind. And one of the main things we focus on at those weekends is allowing God to restore our souls where they've been damaged. Where in your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. That's probably a little simplistic way to talk about it, but when our minds get damaged with ungodly beliefs and ways of thinking, patterns that our lives will tend to fall into, well, we need restored. And God's committed to restoring us. When your will has been damaged and led you into places where you didn't really want to go, and your life is now broken, God restores you. When your emotions have been wounded and it's very difficult to open your heart up to people, to let them in, guess what? God's a restorer. He restores your soul. So back to the sheet. Actually, we're going to do one of these weekends. I got to figure out the details of how we're going to do it. But we're going to do one of these where we can just set some time aside and hang out with God, pray for one another, get filled up, fueled up. I can't wait to do it. I love these. I've personally been in over 35 of these weekends teaching and leading, and I can only think of two or three of them where God hasn't had something pretty big that he wants to deal with in my own heart to bring restoration to me, even as I'm there being a leader, leading other people into it. So I get to be a sheep too, and I'm excited. It's like a tune-up. It's like a soul tune-up and a heart tune-up for it. It's so healthy, so good. So anyway, shameless plug for Encounter Weekend that we'll all do together at some point. You know you want to do it because, I don't know, we'll like go out to the cabin or something and go get away. I don't know if we could even sleep everybody out there. But.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We could do it. All right, we'll find a way. We'll make it happen. So back to the sheep analogy with this. You ever heard, where is it? I wrote it in my notes. Psalm 43:5. David says, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." And he speaks to his own soul. And he's like, soul, you have an issue. You have a problem. What's your problem? Why are you so downcast? And then he commands his own soul. He says, put your hope in God. This word, I just learned this week, this word downcast is an old English term that shepherds would use to talk about a sheep. When a sheep is cast down, and we mentioned this last week too, where a sheep will fall down, it will lay down, and then it cannot get up, either because it's so exhausted, because it's just sick, because it has too much wool, or it's too fat. And it can't get back up. It doesn't matter. You could command. It's like me. Sometimes I can command Dolly. And I say, Dolly, do the dishes. I could command. I could yell. I could kick the dog. I could say anything I want to do. But Dolly can't do the dishes. Unless I somehow could supernaturally empower my dog. That would be amazing, by the way. You know, Dolly, vacuum up all of your hair, please, off of the carpet. You know, Dolly, would you please clean up after yourself? She can't do that unless she has some kind of intervention from the outside. Maybe a bad analogy. I've never seen a dog that can do any of those things. But the shepherd could tell the sheep, get up. It doesn't matter. The sheep can't get up. It is physically incapable of getting up. And that sheep will die. On hot days, it can die in a matter of a few hours. Because it just gets... I don't understand all of the inner workings of a sheep, but it'll die because it can't get up. Look at it however you want. Some of these commentators have said too much wool can represent your old life. And old growth, I guess. I don't know. And too fat. You're this like super contented Christian. You've totally arrived. You know, I've arrived. I don't need anything. And you just get fat. You're not actually a functional Christian. You're just an eater. I'm a feeder, but I don't do anything. Like the scripture Brent quoted this morning. You know, you love me. You keep my commandments. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples. Are we about this business, or are we just fat feeders? Well, it'll make you fat, and then you can't get up. Then you die. How's that? There's some hope for you this morning. Get out there and share the gospel, or you might die. Okay. Overstating the point here. Now, here's the deal. When you've got one of these cast-down sheep, the shepherd comes. It finds the sheep. It rescues the sheep. It puts the sheep back up on its feet. Your scriptures might come to your mind where God says he actually establishes our feet. God's the one who comes and he rescues us and he picks us up. Well, what happens with a sheep that's been cast down? It tends to fall over again. It tends to, like, you've been rescued. You've been set up. Like, God has come and intervened in your life, and he's enabled you to do what you couldn't do. And you stand up, and you start to walk, and you're like, yes, I'm going, and you're over again. And you go, what happened? I stumbled again. Well, this cast-down sheep will tend to do this. And the shepherd comes and takes it back up again. And he'll massage the legs of the sheep. He'll work the legs and make sure that the sheep can stay up. We tend to do this. Strongholds in our lives, addictions in our lives, old patterns in our lives. We'll tend to go back into them. We go, Jesus set me free. And yet, here I am going back into this pattern. And I'm falling back into the same habit, the same struggle that Jesus set me free from. And here I am stuck again. Our tendency can be to say, the shepherd is going to want nothing to do with me now. I've blown it completely. He already rescued me. He already set me on my feet. And here I am again. And the thief, the wolf, will do everything he can to keep you from going to the shepherd, calling out to the shepherd, coming back to the shepherd. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. He'll lie to you, deceive you. The shepherd doesn't want anything to do with you. He already set you free once. He already took care of this. Don't bother him again. You're worthless. Guys, we need to keep this in mind. God is not disgusted with us. If we've stumbled back into the same habit again, God's not disgusted with you. I wrote it down. He's not disgusted. He's not fed up. He's not furious with you because you have fallen down. He will pick you up again. I don't care if it's 57 times that you've fallen back into the same sin. He will pick you up again and again. He's a good shepherd. He'll leave the 99 and come after the one. This is what he does. This is who our God is. He comes after you. So why so downcast? Put your hope in God. Fourth thing. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He doesn't just pick you up out of your fallen downness. I make these words up. Fallen downness. Gabe's not up here. He actually keeps it. He keeps a little record of all of the stupid words I make up. So, fallen downness. He does. So if he listens to the recording, he can add this to it. He doesn't just pick you up from your stuff and your sin and your all the ways that you've fallen short and fallen. He also leads you in paths of righteousness. Again, this comes back to the scripture that Brent read this morning. He's going to lead you in right paths. He's going to lead. He has a direction for you to go. He has purpose for you. He has calling for your life. He has ways that he wants you to walk. It's not just like, hey, don't worry about it. You fall over, I'll be there. I'll pick you up. No. Actually, you keep running off and doing stuff, he'll break your leg. A good shepherd will do that. And he'll break the leg of that sheep so that it can't keep running off into the trouble that it gets into. And he'll carry that sheep around on his shoulders until its leg heals and it can walk again. And usually that sheep has learned trust by being drawn close to the shepherd. The shepherd breaks his leg and then carries it around. And that sheep learns to love the shepherd. If it was anybody else but God doing that with people, I would call that extremely dysfunctional. But but God knows how to do this. That, no, do not do this with your children, please. you do that again, I will break your leg. Okay. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here's the tendency of sheep. Sheep will follow the same trails and graze the same hills over and over and over until there's no vegetation. Their land is completely polluted and corrupt, and it's just this place of desolation. That's what sheep will do. Like, because I know this place. This is what I know. This is my comfort zone, and I'm just going to keep grazing it and keep walking it and trampling it until there's no life in it. I know none of you are like this, to where, you know, this is what's comfortable for me. I'm going to stay here. No one's like this, right? The greatest safeguard that the sheep has for the shepherd is to keep the sheep moving. He keeps the sheep moving in a direction. Now, that doesn't mean constant moving. We've already heard he makes you lie down. He knows when you need to lie down, and he knows when it's time to move. He keeps us on the move. Isaiah 53:6 says this, that we will turn to our own way. This is our tendency. We turn back to our own way because we know this way. This way might leave you frustrated. It might leave you just stuck in sin, but you know this way. And the tendency is to go back to it. Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25 both say this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end leads to death. There's a way that seems right to us. The sheep think, this feels good. This feels right. I know this place. This is, yes, this is good. This is where I should be. This is killing me, and I have no idea. You know? But Jesus says, I am the way. John 14:6, I am the way. And Jesus, he says, you want to follow me? Take up your cross and follow me. He says, I want you to come after me. Our shepherd is leading us places. He's going to take us places. He has purpose. He has direction for your life. Get ready. If you want to follow the good shepherd, it's not all, here I am laying by the stream, chewing on my cud over here, you know. There is that. And if you're going to go places in God, and you're going to do great exploits as a mighty sheep, you have to learn how to just be with him. Learn how to just lay down in green pastures. Learn how to enjoy the still water. Learn how to, like, let him restore your soul. This is where we start. And I actually called this today free to rest. Because we need to be free to do these things. Just stop. And from that place, Jesus is going to lead us. There's going to be things he calls you to give up, things he calls you to lay down and leave behind to follow him. And I guarantee you, there's going to be another place to lay down and rest. We have found coming over from Montana to Washington, and from Missoula to Spokane, I was telling somebody this week, I said, man, I feel healthy. I feel good. I feel like God totally stirred us up, shook us loose, uprooted us, and amazingly, he replanted us. And I feel like I'm home. So I can tell you, wherever he leads you, there's going to be more fresh water, green grass. It's okay. When he shakes you loose and you step out and you follow him, follow the shepherd in faith, there's going to be more rest for you. So here's a question. Do I want to follow Jesus? I don't know too many Christians that would say no. 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 We say yes. And we'll sing songs that say yes. And we'll, you know, make all kinds of statements about, well, God's leading me. And sometimes that statement bothers me. Well, God led me to leave my wife. That bothers me. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. God led me, you know, to abandon my children. God led me to do this. No. No, he didn't do that. We can twist things and say, oh yeah, I'm following Jesus. But really, to follow Jesus and say, okay, God, I'm willing to follow you in right paths. I'm willing to lay down what I want to do for what you want to do. Do you want to do that? And the good news again, God's the one leading you. God is committed as your shepherd to leading you in right paths. And he is sovereign. He has ways of leading you down that path. Even when you're stubborn and you can dig your feet in and you can try to go the other way, he will lead you. He's way more committed to leading you in a right path than I could be. Then you could be. He is faithful to you. So let's wrap this up. I'm going to ask you a few more questions. Have you discovered the difference between knowing there is good grass? That sounds really great, doesn't it? Especially with our new law passed in Washington. We've discovered some good grass. Have you discovered the difference between knowing there is good grass and water to be enjoyed and actually putting your face in the water to taste and see that the Lord is good? It's a huge difference to acknowledge, oh yes, in Jesus, there's healthy water. Good grass just is not sounding good to me today. Nourishing grass. How's that? Whole different thing than to say, I'm tasting and seeing that God is good. I'm enjoying what the shepherd has for me. Secondly, have you moved from mental assent that God is your shepherd to daring to trust his leadership? Now, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir a little bit on this today, because we're all kind of making this step out, we're several months into it, planting a church. But this is something for us all the time. We don't want to ever slip back into a mental assent. Yes, God's my shepherd. But staying, moving forward, daring to trust his leadership for the next thing. The next move. Guys, he's here. He's here even today, right now. He's here to water us, to feed us, to restore us, and to move us forward. We can actually walk, when we walk out the door today, we can walk out in a different way than we came in. Moving forward in God. And I believe that's his heart for us, for our kids downstairs and those that are teaching downstairs. His heart for us is that we not walk back out the door the same way we walked in the door today, but that we walk out moving forward with God. So let me just ask, I want to pray. Actually, I'm gonna pray and then I'll ask. Jesus, I just want to thank you. You are such a good shepherd, an amazing shepherd to us, that you know just where to lead us, where to have us lie down, where to have us rest, and that you really give us that freedom to rest. And then you know how to restore our souls and prepare us for the next leg of the journey as we move on to the next place. You know how to do this, God. You know how to lead us and win. And we just acknowledge you today as our leader, as our shepherd. I acknowledge you as my shepherd. And I just give you permission. Sounds funny to say. But I voluntarily cooperate with that. Say, God, shepherd me. Lead me. Use others around me to speak into my life and shepherd me. I give you permission, God, to restore my soul. Speak into areas in my heart and my ways of thinking and my own stubborn will. So, God, I give you permission to restore my soul. And just thank you, Jesus, that you are so committed to doing this. You're so committed to your sheep. And we love you for it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.